In the early 1970s, I was in Bible college and was older than most people in college. I started college when I was 25, and I wanted to preach. And so the last two and a half years I was in college, I preached somewhere almost every Sunday. And a part of that time, I did what we call supply preaching, which I didn't ever do an interim ministry where I was there. Well, I shouldn't say that because I did, I guess. But generally, it was just some preacher who was sick and needed somebody to fill in. They'd call the college. And some church that didn't have a preacher, and I would preach for them for 2 or 3 weeks. But in that traveling around, one Sunday, something happened that I've never forgotten, that has just kind of stuck with me and bothered me. And to tell you the truth, I don't even remember which church it was. But back in those days, in the independent non-denominational Christian church, almost without exception, during communion, the elders were at the table, and the deacons actually served it to the congregation. And usually there were two chairs by the communion table, and the elders sat there in those two chairs, and they would take the elements and give them to the deacons, and the deacons would serve them to the church. Well, in one church I went to and preached there, I was a Bible college student, and I was just a visiting preacher, just 28 years old, never been to the church before, didn't know anything about the church. But after the service, I found out that the two elders that were sitting at the table and serving communion wouldn't speak to each other. They had a falling out, and they wouldn't speak to each other. Here were the spiritual leaders of the church, the elders, who couldn't forgive each other. Some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life were people who wouldn't forgive. And many of those people would not murder. They would not commit adultery. It has been years since they told a lie. They would never steal anything. They would never do any of the outward things that we think sinners do, you know. But there was something that happened in their life, and they would not forgive. And it doesn't just happen to older people or elders or deacons or preachers. It happens to all of us that we don't forgive. Now, let me make two or three statements that seem so simple that I shouldn't have to make them. But in my experience as a minister, I need to make these statements because people have talked to me. I've had people come to me when I suggested they should forgive somebody. I've had people say, I would forgive them if they had not done it. And I wanted to shake my head and say, what? And what they are saying is, I would forgive them had they done some other sin. But this particular sin is so bad, I wouldn't forgive them. I can't forgive them. What I heard was, I would forgive them if they had not done anything wrong to me. Well, and I would say to them, no, you wouldn't. They said, yeah, I would. I would have forgiven them had they not done this. I said, no, you wouldn't. Yeah, I would. I really would have forgiven had they not done such and such. I said, no, you wouldn't. What do you mean, Lee? No, you wouldn't. It is impossible for you to forgive anybody if they didn't do anything wrong to you. Right? What am I going to forgive them of? So for the Bible to say you should forgive others implies that others have done something wrong to you. That just goes without saying, but somehow or another, some people think there are certain sins that I shouldn't have to forgive people of. I don't need to forgive them. If they did that, I don't need to forgive them. Now I want to talk about what forgiveness means. The word, in the Greek word, in translated forgiveness in most of our Bible texts for today, means to send away, to send away. That's the basic meaning of the word, to send away. So you offended me for some reason, you did something wrong to me, and I sent it away. It is gone. It is as if it never happened. Nearly all of us have seen, and tragically most of us like, the T-shirt says, I don't get mad, I get even. And that's not a very Christian attitude, by the way, but still most of us fall into the trap of liking that. I don't get mad, I get even. But I think if we knew the truth, we would really be surprised at the number of good Christians who have unforgiveness in their hearts. Maybe it's toward an ex-husband or an ex-wife or an ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend. Maybe it's toward an ex-best friend. Maybe it's toward your parents or your children. But they did something wrong to you, and that's an automatic, right? If we're talking about forgiveness, that's an automatic. They had to do something wrong to you before you can forgive them. They had to do something wrong to you. So that's not a question of what they did anything wrong to you. The question is whether you forgive them or not. And the most miserable people I know are people who don't forgive. And so I say, even if you were totally selfish and totally ungodly, I mean, if you didn't care anything about God, or you didn't care anything about what God said, you'd still be better off to do what God says and forgive them. Just if you were selfish, just if all you cared about was you, you'd still be better off to forgive them. Because unforgiveness just eats at you and eats at you and eats at you, and it destroys you. But you know, that is not even the biggest reasons why you should do it. The biggest reason why you should forgive is because God said so. God said so. And many of you have repeated the prayer over and over, and we're going to talk about that near the end of our message. Many of you have repeated the prayer, forgive me, God, as I forgive others. And I think had people thought about what they said, they would have remained silent during that phrase. I think they would have said, no, I'm not going to pray that. I'm not going to pray, God, you forgive me just like I forgive others. And yet, that's what we pray. Let's look at two or three scriptures. And then at the end, I want you to take your Bible and we're going to read a story out of the Bible that's connected with one of these scriptures. But let's just read two or three scriptures in which there's a command to forgive. And usually it's just kind of hung in there in the middle of other commands. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. What's the next phrase? Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Tell me what I just said two or three minutes ago. Here's the only way I can forgive is if you've done something wrong. If you've done nothing wrong to me, I can't forgive you because there's nothing to forgive you of. So for the Bible to say you should forgive others implies that sometimes those others are going to do something to you that hurt you. And you know the people who can hurt you the most? The people who are the closest to you. The people who can hurt you the most are the people who are the closest to you. And the scriptures teach that I should forgive them. In this text, why does it say I should forgive them? I should forgive them just as God has forgiven me. So I should forgive them because I've been forgiven. What did I say the word meant? Send away. That means I act as if it never happened. I act as if it never happened. It's gone. You see, some of these things people did to me are so serious that I can't just send it away. I just can't forget it. God says, you forgive them just as God forgave you. So you want God to say, well, some of the things you did are so bad, I can't forgive you. So I'll forgive some of them, but I'm not going to forgive others of them. I'm just going to hold them against you. You know what happened? You face judgment and God has won against you. How many sins did Adam and Eve commit? One. So you say, well, I've forgiven everybody else and everything else, but that one, I can't. God says, you forgive just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So we could just close up, shop, and stop. That's enough. You should forgive others because God forgave you. That's enough reason right there. That's enough. Okay. Look at the next verse. Next passage. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, who are that? Who's that a description of? Christians. Those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, you need to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. What am I to do if I'm going to use the Scriptures? What does the Scripture say I'm supposed to do? Forgive. I'm forgive because I've been forgiven. Right? That's what it says. Forgive because I've been forgiven. Now, to forgive implies that somebody did something wrong. And again, the reason I keep saying that is because people keep telling me I would forgive them had they not done so-and-so. I mean, a wife will say, you know, I forgive him of lying. I forgive him of misleading me. I forgive him all kind of things. But he committed adultery. I'll never forgive him of that. I'll never forgive him. I would forgive him had he not done it. You need to forgive him anyway. You need to forgive him anyway. You need, if woman or man, whoever it is, you need to forgive. Why? According to the two texts we've read so far, why should you forgive? Because you've been forgiven. And God had no obligation to forgive you. None. He didn't owe you anything. And he forgave you. Because he forgave you, you should forgive others. And the only way you can forgive others is if they did something to you they should not have done. Mark 11:25. Jesus says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Let me emphasize two words. If you have anything against anyone. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgression. Ooh, we done changed gears. We were talking about you should forgive because you've been forgiven. What are we talking about now? You should forgive so you will be forgiven. Read it again and see if that's what he said. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Wow. I should forgive others so God will forgive me. How does that sound when I'm trying to convince God? God, I can forgive him of everything else but whatever it is. I should forgive him. I knew a lady one time, and when she phoned me, I thought she was joking. I really thought she was joking. But found out she was absolutely serious. She was mad at her husband She was mad at her husband because he had died and left her alone. And I really thought she was joking. I mean, he didn't intentionally die and leave you alone, but she was mad at him and held a grudge against him and was unforgiving toward him because he had died and left her alone. But you know what? Some of you may be holding a grudge against somebody that's been dead for years. Been gone years and years and years, and you still have never forgiven them for something they did to you. Now, I'm not talking about what they did to you was right or wrong. If it was right, there's nothing to forgive them of. The only way you can forgive them is if they did something wrong. That's the only way. And Jesus said here, you should forgive them anything of anyone so God will forgive you. Matthew 6, the scripture we read for our devotional time, part of the Lord's Prayer, part of the model prayer. Forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors. And Jesus went on to explain after the model prayer was over, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. Wow. That's pretty rough. That makes me forgiving others pretty important, don't you think? So I need to forgive others. And if I forgive them, that means I act as if it never happened. I act as if it never happened. It's gone. I have sent it away. It is no longer in me. It's gone. I've forgiven them. Occasionally somebody will tell me, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget it. And I do want to admit to you that forgetting it is more difficult than forgiving them. It is more difficult. But if I really forgive them, it's gone. Yeah. So sometimes a wife will forgive her husband of something he's done, he forgot her birthday or forgot the anniversary or whatever. But every few months she brings it back up and tells him again, you know when you forgot such and such? Well, I want to tell you, I can't judge her heart. But my guess is if she keeps bringing it back up, she didn't really forgive you. She didn't really forgive you. If you forgive them, you've sent it away. It's gone. You act as if it never happened. Peter, and you may like or dislike Peter, but Peter... Peter was the first guy in the group that would always speak up. He was the guy that if he was in your Sunday school class, you'd want him to shut up sometimes, okay? You know, in your Sunday school class, you need to say everybody participates and nobody dominates. Everybody participates, but nobody dominates. I think Peter, if Peter was in your class, he'd dominate. He'd talk all the time. He was the first one who speaks up. And before the Holy Spirit came upon him, every record we have, he messed up except one. He did say Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He did that right. All the other times he messed up. Every time. Just opening his mouth before he put his mind in gear. But anyway, Peter is coming to Jesus in this point and I think wants to brag a little bit. I think he wants to say, look, Jesus, look at me. I'm doing good. Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, you may not see it there, but I see Peter saying, I'm willing to do it up to seven times. I'll go a long ways. I mean, I'll forgive them seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Those of you who are legalists, how many times is that? 490. You think Jesus really meant you need to keep an account, and when it gets to 490, I can stop? and I want to tell you, in a husband-wife relationship, sometimes we husbands, Doesn't take long to get to 490. I mean, so I don't think Jesus meant I can keep an account and when I get to 490 I can just stop. What do you think he meant? It's unlimited amount. It's an unlimited amount. And now I want you to get your Bibles. I don't have room to put this on the little sheet. So I want you to get your Bibles and turn to this last passage. You turn to this last passage. Matthew 18. I'm basically just going to read the story. And I thought about just telling the story, but I want to read it. And I'd like for you to look at it in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. We read the first two verses. Peter came to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." And Jesus said to him, "I do not sin to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Then he tells a story. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slave. When he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents." Anybody got a footnote on how much that is? 10,000 talents. And of course, most of you don't have a footnote because it depends on what was a talent of. Talent is a weight, like a pan. And it depends on whether it was a talent of silver or a talent of gold or what it was a talent of. But 15 years wages. 15 years wages was how many talents? One. How many did he owe? 10,000 talents. I was going to figure that out, but I figured I couldn't pronounce it, whatever it was. So he one talent takes 15 years for a working man, just an ordinary working man. He would make one talent in 15 years. This man owed him 10,000 talents, millions of dollars in our money, millions of dollars. This man was brought to him, but since he didn't have the means to repay, no, I'm sure he didn't, he was a slave, didn't have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. That was a normal way you deal with it. A person couldn't pay his debts. You made him a slave. Made him and his slave, his wife his slave, his children a slave, to try to get some of your money back. That was the normal way you did that. So this slave, how much did he owe? Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. He fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." Liar. Ain't no way he's going to repay him everything. Right? It's just impossible. He owed him millions of dollars. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. If the story ended right there, that would be absolutely amazing. That this, the king had forgiven this man millions, millions of dollars. Just forgiven it. What happens when you forgive? Forget it. It's gone. The slate is wiped clean. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. How much is a denarii? Somebody tell me. One day's labor. So 100 is about a third a year's salary. Whatever you make a year, divided by three, that's what he owed. Compare that to the other fellow who owed how much? Millions. So he owed thousands. That's quite a bit. In a third of his salary, $15,000, $20,000. It was a lot. First one owed him millions of dollars. The man forgave him. The fellow that owed that said, "This guy owes me a few thousands." So he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slaves fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." Does this sound like anything you just heard? Basically the same thing. And possibly this fellow could have done it. Possibly he could have done it. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he had owed. So he wouldn't forgive him. He said, you got to pay me. I'm going to put you in jail. So it ended up just punishment, because if he put him in jail, he couldn't pay it back. So he's going to punish him for owing him and not paying him. When his fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord, the king, all that had happened. Then summons him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slaves in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So he reversed his decision. I forgave you. You went out and tried to get a little bit of money from somebody else. You didn't forgive them, just like I forgave you. You didn't do that. So I'm going to go back. I'm not going to forgive you. Look at verse 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. What do you think it means, from your heart? Not just say, I forgave him. Really forgive him. Now, as we come to the close, I want you to just think about, is there somebody in your life that you've not forgiven? Is there somebody, parent, child, brother, sister, co-worker, friend, husband, wife, somebody that you've not forgiven? Somebody you still hold them accountable for what they did. They did you wrong, and you know they did you wrong. They know they did you wrong. You still hold it against them. Why don't we just close our eyes and bow our head and just think for just a minute, is there somebody in my life that I should have forgiven? I should forgive them because God has forgiven me, and yet I've never done that. I still hold it against them. Help me, Father, if there's one person in my life that I never forgave, even if that person is dead and gone, if that person is no longer in my life, help me to forgive them from my heart. To send it away, to send the offense away, to send the whatever they did to me, just to send it away and to act as if it never happened. And Father, help me to do that. Help me to forgive them because you forgave me. And Father, I know the Scripture says I need to forgive, so you will forgive me. But right now, I just want to emphasize that I need to forgive them because you have forgiven me. It is through Jesus, I pray. Amen.